Our Lenten journey began with remembering that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Our journey continued through the wilderness, fasting, and temptation, and our ongoing struggle with sin. We now are coming toward the end, approaching Palm Sunday and Easter, and Paul gives us the tools we need in order to move forward to celebrate Easter, the Paschal feast. Paul has mastered one thing, he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. To press on, Paul reminds us, we must forget what lies behind. Paul is honest here. He's vulnerable. He's candid about his past. He puts his impressive resume forward to us, his pedigree, which is impressive. He was born into privilege. He was highly educated. And he was passionately faithful to what he believed to be his family's legacy and his faith. But all of that is rubbish to him now, he says. The New Testament word for rubbish is a word I cannot utter here. It's the vulgar word for excrement. He considers his past worthless and even repulsive, not because he despises the good things that he grew up with and inherited, but because of how much more valuable and precious is what he has now in Jesus Christ. And so Paul forgets what lies behind. And by telling the story, he tries to inspire you and me to follow his example, or rather, the example of Christ. Forgetting is not a passive slip of the memory. It's not the inability to remember. It's not spiritual dementia. It's an active effort to no longer let what is in the past define you or me. It's a mindset to transform the way we enter the future, the way we greet what awaits us in Christ. Forgetting what lies behind is paying less attention to the old you, and paying more attention to the new you that Christ is forming. Forgetting what lies behind is caring less about the things of this world that are passing away, and more about the gifts that God has in store for us. Forgetting what lies behind is our belief that God can take a very messy situation and bring order and peace. Forgetting what lies behind is our faith in God's power to transform the vilest sinner whose sins are forgiven in the past and whose righteousness in Christ is emerging like the dawn of a new day. God says in Isaiah 43, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. God forgives. God forgets. He shows us the way. When he erases our guilt and shame, he chooses not to remind us or bring those old things up. Paul does not bring up all his pedigree, his privilege, and persecution of the church to impress us, but to persuade us that none of us is too good and none of us is too bad to experience the life transformation of the gospel, to have that need to forget what lies behind. Pride about our past keeps us from seeing the surpassing riches of Christ which await us. And regret stifles the growth that God wants to cultivate in our lives. To put it bluntly, to dwell on the past, it's to let those things hold us back. It's a form of unbelief. It's allowing those things of the world to hold us captive and to paralyze us and prevent us from moving forward in the peace, in the joy, in the hope that is ours in Jesus. One thing I consider I have mastered, Paul says, to forget what lies behind and to strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul here uses one of his favorite metaphors, and mine, to describe the Christian journey, a race. In the 2006 Winter Olympics, Lindsay Jacobellis was about to finish first and win the gold in a snowboard race when she started to swell up with pride and hit a bump. She decided to showboat her jump. She wrecked and she finished second. It's painful to watch. Coaches and sports commentators scold runners and racers of all kinds who look back for whatever reason, because of the loss of focus and precious time. And our time is short, dear brothers and sisters. One of the most powerful moments for me during my visit to Stateville Prison with Deaconess Lori Wilbert was when Jesus shared a story with us about his young daughter and his belief that his young daughter will grow up never wanting to have anything to do with him. One of the other prisoners said very quickly, "You don't know that." And another chimed in, "Yeah, you don't know what God will do in her heart over the course of the next few years to restore that relationship to you." I could see a glimmer in Jesus' eyes that he began to let go of the past, receive God's forgiveness, and strain forward to a future in the hope of the gospel and the ministry of what we call reconciliation. That is Paul's encouragement to us. Don't look back. Strain forward. Press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. In our gospel reading, Mary does just that in her offering. Mary anoints Jesus with costly perfume. Jesus says she does that in preparation for his burial. Mary presses on in her faith in the Messiah, who will die and rise again for her forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus presses on toward Jerusalem. His face is set like flint, we're told. There he will win the race and the battle against sin, evil, and death itself. So we press on, not looking behind, gloating in our success, nor do we look back, bemoaning all our failures. We cannot earn our life in Christ by what we do, nor can we lose it by whatever we have done. We press on not with our own resources or our own disgraceful regrets. We press on for what Jesus has won for us. He is the forerunner. He's the one that's won the prize already, the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Soon our confirmands will be taking an oath to press on. They will say, "Yes, by the grace of God, by God's strength and help, we will press on and forward in our faith." Confirmation is about what lies ahead in their Christian journeys, in their lives that are being built upon the promises of God. So God cheers us on. He's our biggest fan. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, Scripture says, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we press on in peace and joy and a hope that will not fail us, all of that which is ours in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.